The question to our Lord is a legitimate question: are you the Messiah? Our Lord has always, in the Gospels, been sensitive to the fact that it was necessary to prove his messianic dignity by external signs. He came into the world saying, "I am the Son of God, I am the Messiah." He was pointed out by St. John the Baptist as the Messiah. He came at the time when the Messiah was expected. And so he had to prove that he was truly the Messiah in order to distinguish himself from those who would be false. And no one, therefore, could be guilty of sin by rejecting Christ as the Messiah unless Christ had given ample evidence of his messianic dignity. He himself said that there would be false Christs, and there were. After he ascended into heaven, there were a number of people in Judea who claimed to be the Messiah, for it was the time of the Messiah. And you have never heard of these people. Why? Because they were false messiahs. And the fact that you know our Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years after he has ascended into heaven is again a sign that he is the true Messiah. Because the others aren't even a footnote on the history pages. They're gone. Except for an occasional mention here and there. Our Lord proved his messianic dignity by miracles and prophecies. Our Lord performed during his public life probably thousands of miracles. He was active for 3 years. And what you read in the Gospel are only a few of the miracles that he actually performed, according to most interpreters. Our Lord went from village to village and preached to the crowds, and we can assume that he constantly performed miracles in order to give overwhelming evidence that he was the Messiah. Because he accomplished these miracles by his own power, it was proof that he was the Son of God, or at the very least, for those who were somewhat ignorant or backward, at least that he was sent by God, that he represented God. At the very least, they would understand that. In addition to these miracles, our Lord also fulfilled all the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Messiah. Now, the fulfillment of all of them in a single person would be impossible by chance. A single person might fulfill one or the other, but to fulfill all of them would be impossible. The very fact, for example, that he would be the Messiah not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, we see predicted by the prophet Isaiah, and it is quoted by St. Paul. And he is saying this for the Jews who may object to the acceptance of Gentiles into the church. Thinking, well, we are the church, we are the chosen race. There was a sentiment among the Jews that the Gentiles should not be permitted into the church. And St. Paul is telling them, look, Isaiah the prophet says that he will be the hope of the Gentiles. So that fact also should have awakened any of the Jews who were of goodwill to say, yes, he fulfills what was said about the one that was to come, the Messiah. And he performed the greatest and ultimate miracle of his life by rising from the dead. This alone would have been sufficient to prove his divinity, even if he had done nothing else during his lifetime. And 37 years before the event occurred, he predicted the fall and the destruction of Jerusalem with great detail, which was a punishment for the Jews who rejected him as the Messiah. He gave them approximately 40 years in which to discover that he was the Messiah, 3 years of his own public life, and then 37 years of the Acts of the Apostles, the preaching of the Apostles, in which the glory of the church was manifested. They had 40 years. And when these 40 years were done, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed in fulfillment of the prophecy of Christ, which should have yet opened their eyes more, but did not. And our Lord repeatedly uses the argument of his miracles and prophecies to prove his messianic dignity and to hold guilty those who reject him. After curing the man born blind, our Lord says to the incredulous Pharisees, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now you say, we see. Your sin remaineth. And when he says blind, he means if you were invincibly ignorant, if you had not seen these miracles, if you had not heard the testimony of this man who said he was born blind and that I cured him, you would have no sin. But you say, we see. The Pharisees had just interviewed the man who was cured. And our Lord says, your sin remaineth. Your sin of infidelity remaineth. In another place of the Gospel, our Lord is speaking again to the incredulous Jews. Do you say of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you will not believe me, believe the works, and by the works he means the miracles, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. And these are only two citations of many places in the Gospel where he refers to the power of the miracles to prove his messianic dignity. And so our adherence to the Catholic faith is not a blind leap of faith. It's not a jump into the dark. But it is an act of faith based on sound motives of credibility. By examining the miracles and prophecies of Christ, we see that this is truly the Messiah, and that the church that he founded definitely must be then the true church. Because if he founded a church, he could found only one church. He cannot found many churches that contradict one another. How could that be the foundation and pillar of truth, as St. Paul calls it? If the church or churches which Christ founded, supposedly, all contradicted one another, all had different dogmas. So if we believe that Christ is God, and if we believe from the same Holy Gospel that he founded the church, a church, We must believe that that church continues to exist today because he said it would exist until the consummation of the world. And therefore we must conclude that there is a single true Christian church on the face of the earth, and that it will have signs of its truth and will manifest the signs of its truth. And those are the four marks of the church: one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And the church itself is a sign of its own messianic dignity, its own divinity, so to speak. That is, a sign that it has divine assistance. Because from without and from within, there has been an attempt to destroy it. From without, every enemy tried to, in some way, ruin it. The Romans tried to chop its head off and feed it to lions, and that didn't work. And the monarchs, after accepting the church, tried to control it. And even popes were kidnapped and brought to their death by these kidnappings and maltreatment. And that didn't work. And in the French Revolution, they hoped that you would never see a pope again, because they dispersed the cardinals from Rome in the hope that they could never get another conclave going again. And that didn't work. And then in the 19th century, they ran the Pope out of Rome. They took away all the possessions of the church, and that didn't work. The church has also been subject from within to every possible failure of the human beings that are in it. You name a sin, whether it be greed or lust or desire for power, and it has been committed not only by lay people, but by clergy. And the weight of these sins should have brought down any human institution, but did not. The church rebounds from these things because it has an interior life from God. And with Vatican II, they have tried something else, and that is to inject into the veins of the church a poison, the poison of modernism. And that won't work either. There are already signs that Vatican II is dying. The Novus Ordo is dying. It is dying physically, because all of those who were enthusiastic about it 40 years ago and who brought it about, they have only a few more years left. The young clergy are not enthusiastic about the changes. There is a mood changing now. There is a tide which is saying Vatican II was a disaster. It will not work. It will not fly. And look, even though they have tried to put this thing through all over the world, you have the Catholic Mass that will not die. It will not die. And Catholic doctrine, which will not die, and Catholics who adhere to it. And they will not die, because the young, by the grace of God, are coming up and embracing it and professing it. Because the Catholic Church is assisted by God, and no human attempt will ever put it under. And for this reason, for the reason that the church has all of the signs of being the one true church, both from her founder, who proved himself to be Son of God, and from the divine assistance given to her over the past 2,000 years, for this reason the church holds that those who have been sufficiently exposed to the truth of the Catholic faith but reject it, will go to hell And this is the meaning of the dogma of the church. Outside the church, there is no salvation. It does not mean that those who do not know the motives of the truth of the Catholic faith, who have not been exposed to the preaching and the teaching of the church, are guilty on that account. We say that they are in invincible ignorance and could possibly save their souls because they are in invincible ignorance if they do everything else that is necessary for salvation. But those who know the true faith, those who have been exposed to the faith, if they reject it and never return, which is a very difficult thing once it's rejected, and never return, they are condemned to hell. Because outside of the church, there is no salvation. There is no other means of getting to God. It is the single road, the single ship of going to God. So the lesson of the gospel is to believe that Christ is the true Messiah and Redeemer of the world. And this means that we must reject the ecumenism of Vatican II and of the modern world in general. If you go to the post office, you see the stamps for Christmas, and you see, yes, the Madonna and Child, but then you see the Jewish stamp, and you see the Muslim stamp, and you see the snowman. And so our blessed Lord has to share his throne with Judaism and Islam and paganism. And this is the mentality of the modern world, that it's all good, it's all wonderful. All religions have a certain value, and that must be rejected because that is an insult and blasphemy to our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Messiah and Savior and Redeemer of the world. And Pius XI said it in his encyclical on Christ the King. He said that very thing. And it means that we must hold that there is but one true faith, and one true church, because there is but one true Son of God, to whom alone we shall bend the knee on Christmas Day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.